let's appreciate all of you being here. I'm going to make this announcement now, and I'll make it again in the preaching hour, probably, if the Lord, if I don't forget it, if He'll call it to my attention. I wrote it down. I trust that He will. But since we started the change in the Sunday school class and having all the young men out here and the young ladies with Mrs. Hall, on Sunday night, some of our young men and women, they've not been going to either class, not to the choir nor back there, and it's causing a little bit of confusion. I think Miss Back saw some young men back in the office last Sunday and asked them not to get in the office, and they were pretty rude to her that she wasn't their boss, and they didn't have to get out of that office if they didn't want to. It leads me to say this, something I've been praying about, and I want you men to pray about it. I've been praying about maybe the Lord giving us a man and his wife that'll start working with our younger people. I'm talking about these young boys and on up through the teenage years, and maybe working with them in on Tuesday nights and working with them for a choir. And we'll start letting them sing in their own choir on Tuesday nights and start trying to develop these young people to doing something, and then maybe take about 30 minutes on the Sunday night while the choir's practicing and Miss Back has her young people, and maybe work with them in a short Sunday school lesson of some kind to occupy them on that night. And also, I'm praying about having a youth meeting. If we can get somebody, if the Lord had laid on somebody's heart to do that, a young man and his wife, then, I think I already know somebody to bring and preach on maybe like a Friday night youth meeting, and try to get a young couple to work in that area and get it organized and get some things set up that the kids can do and work with them in it after the youth meeting is over. So you be praying about that, and maybe the Lord give us somebody. It might be a help to the church, give young people something to do, and give somebody else in the church a ministry, a little work to do for God. Give them opportunity to study the Bible and teach the Bible a little bit on Sunday nights to these young people. And it might be a blessing to the church. So you be a praying about that, all right? Okay, Psalm number 57, if I can read it. Well, we'll try our best to read it this morning. And I believe, Lord willing, I want to read the first six verses of this psalm this morning. David said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire." Man, what a statement. Amen. I don't know as I can expound that to you or not. I don't know if I understand that. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue be a tongue, a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And you think about that. Into a pit themselves, into a pit that they prepared, and they have fallen into that pit themselves. You think about that. Brother Milby told me a week ago Thursday night that wolves in the church are only effective about 15% of the time. And God's able to turn things around for His people and to give us great victories in our life and defeat the enemy that would reproach us. And I want to try to help us a little while this morning if we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll refresh my heart and mind this morning. Help me to recollect those things that were laid on my heart even a week ago, Lord, as I prepared to preach this on a Sunday night. Help me in the men's class this morning to do it justice and be a blessing to them. Teach us great things out of the Word of God that we might behold Thy glory and be thankful in our hearts for the protective care and the watch care of Almighty God in our life. Help us this hour, I pray, to find some liberty and grace from God. May every heart be moved and blessed and helped, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now let's look at verse number 1, what David says. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Apparently, there were some things transpiring in the life of David that he would desire God's mercy during that. And I want to try to speak to you for a little while this morning, if God will help me, on thank God that's behind me. Thank God that's behind me. David said, Lord, show me mercy and help me to find a place of refuge under the shadow of Thy wings or under the protection or the canopy of God until these calamities be overpassed, until they are gone out of my life. There are, gentlemen, some things in life that we look forward to their passing. Amen to God. Not everything in life is pleasant, and not everything in life do we look forward to or are we blessed by in a fleshly way while we're involved in them. Blessed be God now. Our calamities, gentlemen, are a matter of time. But our safety is a matter of eternity. David realized that whatever these calamities were, that they would soon be passed, but that his protection of Almighty God was for time and eternity. You know, we ought to be able to rejoice as God's people for that. I'm glad that the displeasing things of life that God allows to come our way will soon flee from us, and the sun will soon shine again in our soul. But there's one thing I'm sure of, that God's protection and grace and the canopy of His love shall hover over me all the days of my life. Isn't that what Brother David said in Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you know, and when we're under the divine shadow of God, the passing over of trouble cannot harm us, not one bit. Now David realized that he was in the midst of calamities. And fellas, he used that in the plural. It wasn't just one little occasion, but it was a plurality of things in his life that David was concerned about. But the passing over of these things cannot really harm you and I as a child of God. Now, I tell you, as the old saying goes, they can drive us up the yum-yum tree. They can sometimes make us, would to God, wish we were dead. Amen. I've been involved in some things. I'd just about as soon be dead and be on to heaven as to be involved in it. But I'm glad that they'll soon pass. And while they are passing, I'm under the shadow of God's canopy. Dr. Seitler preached years ago, and I've told this to you a number of times. He preached a message on, and it came to pass. And he preached on various things in the Bible that were difficult at the time for the people involved, but God did bring it to pass in their life. The 40 years of wandering wasn't a pleasant thing for Israel, but God brought it to pass. Calvary wasn't a pleasant thing for our Lord Jesus to endure, but God brought it to pass, and now He is set down at the right hand of God, having great joy in His heart because He has finished the work that God sent Him to do, and He's provided salvation for you and I that know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And so these calamities, this trouble, cannot harm us, and neither will they last forever. They're tied up like the storm, gentlemen, that rages in the night, but it soon gives way to the sunlight in the morning. I woke up sometime in the early morning before the sun came up. Boy, the thunder was a-clapping, and the lightning was a-rolling. Miss Hall jumped up out of the bed and said, "My God, I wonder if it's got the station already." I said, "I'll be honest, honey, if it'll just rain a little bit, let it get it. Amen. We need the rain." But, you know, we want the rain, but we don't want the thunder and the lightning that brings the rain. And, gentlemen, I said that to say this. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want the thunder and the lightning that it's going to take to bring the blessings of God. You cannot have blessings without first having troubles. You cannot have showers of God's righteousness and blessing without first having calamities and troubles in your life. Because trouble and calamity will always develop and bring blessings down the road. God will not always chide with His people. And I think sometimes we want the best God has for us, but we're not willing to pay the price to have it. And with that best is bound to come, gentlemen, some storms in our life. Amen to God. If we want the hard rain, the hard showers, it's got to have thunder and lightning preceding it, or many times even in the midst of it. That's right. I know that's right. And the sun's soon going to shine anyway. I woke up this morning, that thunder carrying on, and it wasn't but a little bit till the sun peeked up over the hills and the rain was gone, or the thunder was gone, and the gentle rain was a-falling. I said, "Hallelujah to God, did that wonderful thing. The thunder and the lightning for a little while, and the rain in the middle of it, but when the thunder and the lightning's gone, God set in with a slow drizzle to moisten the soil, and to cause the grass to turn green, and the flowers to bloom again, the trees to perk up the leaves." Amen to God. That's exactly, gentlemen, how it is in our life. When God sends storms and calamities in our life, He does it that He might send the rain that'll cause the flowers to bloom, the birds to sing, and the trees to come up toward God in thankfulness that God has sent rain upon them. Amen to God. I never forget Sister Biddle years ago, and I wasn't there, but I heard this. She was she's gone on to be with God. But Brother Biddle was still pastoring there just south of Chattanooga a little ways, and I think Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, really is where he lived, and just a suburb of Chattanooga. But said Sister Biddle was on the platform on a camp meeting, and said, "Son, it was on." I don't know how many of y'all have been around Sister Biddle. But it gets on. Sister Biddle was going to testify just a little while. And she's going to tell everybody just how good God been in her life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It'd do us well to testify with a little enthusiasm, gentlemen, about how good God has been to us in our lives. And I don't remember who it was telling me a story. Said Sister Biddle walked down off the platform. Now, I've never been in that church. I don't know how high it was. But said when she got to the bottom step, she hooked her heel in the thread on the carpet. And the heel of her shoe. And said she fell, and you just have to know Sister Biddle. She just jumped up, kind of brushed the wrinkles off, looked around at everybody, and said, "Thank God that's over with. Amen. I'm glad that's behind me." And so there are some things, gentlemen. Sometimes we're going to fall every now and then, but we can always look back at the falls and thank God that the falls are behind us. We can always look back at those times that were an embarrassment to us and thank God that those embarrassing times are past. We can always look back to chastisement of God and thank God that the chastisement is past. I never did like a spanking from my daddy. I was always glad when it was over with. Amen. Never did enjoy it. It hurt. It stung. It burned. It embarrassed me. Especially if some other brothers was around. You know, they was always poking fun, just like some knot-headed Baptist. They want to laugh and poke fun to others when they're getting the lash laid to them. But it's not much fun when the lash comes home to roost. And we're always glad, gentlemen, when those things, thank God, some things are behind us. Amen to God. That's right. Now, look at the title of the psalm. That the title now tells us that this was a prayer of David to the chief musician, Michtam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. I know that this was a prayer of David. And likewise, gentlemen, you and I, while calamities threaten our peace, should maintain a constant prayer life. Now, and calamities will. They'll discombobulate you. They'll get your mind to thinking in a wrong direction. They'll deprive you of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now, hey, we can never be robbed of peace with God because we're saved by His grace. We have been reconciled to God, brethren, and we've made peace with God. And by the way, that is eternal salvation and eternal security. There is not one thing that can break the peace that we have with God. But we can, my friend, lose that peace of God that passeth all understanding. I mean, we can get discombobulated. We can get troubled. And Miss Ruth's going to have a hard time of spelling that word. We can get bent out of joint. We can lose our peace. But I'll tell you, if we'll maintain a consistent prayer life with God while we're going through these calamities, we can maintain that peace of God that passeth all understanding. I'm not saying there won't be times of concern, but we can maintain that peace that God wants us to have down in our heart with Him. Amen to God. And He will, the peace of God, He will give us an understanding while we're in that calamity that we might get a hold on it, why we're there, what's going to be the outcome of it, and why God is leading it through us. And might I always say He is always developing Christian virtues in us when we're there. Amen. But we can pray and maintain that peace of heart and mind. And rather than to lose our peace, we can do like David and find safety in the rock. Amen. That's exactly what he's talking about. He said, let me to find a refuge under the shadow of thy wings until these calamities be overpassed. We can find safety in the rock. Hey, fellas, do you know where the nation of Israel is going to flee to during the tribulation period? To the red rock city of Petra, however you want to pronounce it. It is a city that is literally built into the rocks and the mountains. It's been a place of safety and refuge for that people throughout the ages. And there's many, many, many caves in those rocks. Have you ever saw a picture in a magazine of some of their little cliff-dwelling birds? And I don't remember the name of them, but they build back in the coves of the rocks. And man, there's not a predator alive except the eagle that can get to them. The snakes can't climb them rocks. The serpent can't get up there. Gentlemen, I'm glad today, thank God, that I found safety in the rock where the serpent cannot climb. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's right. And Israel is going to find refuge in that rock at Petra during the great tribulation period, which is a type of the eternal rock of ages. David had already discovered that rock when he wrote this psalm. And aren't you glad today, gentlemen, that while we're involved in circumstances beyond our control that threaten our peace, that we too can find refuge and shelter in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm glad He spreads out His wings as a canopy of grace and love over my never-dying soul and whispers, sweet peace unto me, thanks be unto God, and I can find subtle grace in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah, amen, glory, thank God, glory, hallelujah, amen. Notice also now that word, ash-al-tashchith. Now, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly or not. But the word literally means destroy not. It means destroy not. Possibly David delighted in this psalm so greatly that he wished to ensure, and this is my thought, by the way, that he wished to ensure its preservation forever. No, amen to God. David said, don't destroy this one.
This is the one why I was hiding in the cave. And Saul threatened me on the outside. And I had thugs on the inside. But I'm glad, thank God, that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord and safety under the shadow of His wings until His calamities be overpassed. And whatever you do, don't destroy what I have written to the glory of God. Reserve it so that little crowd of ragtag, sorry rascals at Island Ford Baptist Church back in 1999 might be able to get a hold of it for their own right and realize that what God done for David, God will do for you and I also. He's no respecter of persons. I feel pretty good today. Amen. Destroy not. Or possibly, it might even have referred to the time now when Saul followed David, followed him into the cave, and David had an opportunity to take old Saul's life, but he refused to touch God's anointed. Having shown mercy to Saul, David may be looking back at that time when he took that knife and one of those three mighty men said, "Smite him. Smite him." And David said, "Shall I smite God's anointed?" And he cut off the hem of his garment while Saul sat and covered his feet. And by the way, he was in there using the bathroom, gentlemen. He was covering his feet. David came up behind him while he was preoccupied. Amen. And cut off. That's some good exhortation right there, gentlemen. You get preoccupied, your enemy might cut off the hem of your garment. Better keep your mind on God, your heart on God, and that's right, and your heart and mind in the right place. You'll wind up a casualty if you don't. And old David cut that off. When Saul went out of the grave, or out of the cave, David went out, stood out on the rock and said, "Saul!" And Saul looked and said, "Is that my son David?" David said, "Look what I've got, Saul. I've got the hem of your garment right here. And I could have had your life, but I showed you mercy. And it may be now that David, having shown Saul mercy, is falling back on God to plead with God during this time that God would also show him mercy. And I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, they that show mercy shall find mercy from the hand of God. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Hallelujah to God. For this is the law and the prophets." And God will help me. I'm going to preach on that tonight. God will help me. I'm going to. And so, David showed that mercy to him. You remember, gentlemen, that evil, listen now, is a stream which one day flows back to its source. What goes around comes around. And if you sow it or show it, mark her down, you will reap it and find it in your own life. What we sow in this life, fellas, we'll find ourselves. If we sow mercy, we'll find mercy. If we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You show mercy and grace, you'll find mercy and grace. We may expect the Lord to treat us in like manner as we treat others. Somebody said, "Do you have Scripture?" Oh, yes. "Lord, forgive us of our debts, even as we have forgiven others also." Yes, sir, Ray. I know that is right. Now, what were these calamities that David was talking about? He said in verse 2, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." You know what that word? How many of you know what an aardvark is? It's an anteater, gentlemen. And where he gets his food, he sticks his big long nose down into an anthill. And he snorts up his prey out of that anthill with his big long nose. That word swallow up simply means to snort or to snuff. David said, "They're snuffing at me that they might swallow me up. They are reproaching me. My soul is among lions." He said, "And I lie even among them that are on fire. David, I believe David was saying there, I'm pretty close to hell. I'm surrounded, Lord, by those that are on their way to hell. They're on fire. They're set on fire of hell. And they've got me surrounded and they persecute my soul even unto death. Therefore, have mercy upon me. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. You better hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. The world is rapidly closing in on God's people. Son, I'm going to tell you what. If you are going to take a stand for God, son, you and it's not going to be easy. I tell you what I just heard recently, and I tell you it bothered me a tad bit. I heard it a preacher I know, good preacher. I love the man, still love him, but I heard he was camped out in St. Louis at a baseball game. That ain't a bit more right than a billy goat, son. Huh? That's right. That's the same man sitting told me not long ago. He said, I just can't fellowship with many people because they go in restaurants where they sell beer. And said, I just can't go into that place where they sell beer. Turn right around and go to a place where they set it right under your nose. Now, if you think that ain't playing a part of a hypocrite, neighbor, you got to know. You better read your Bible. Amen. I ain't going to St. Louis. Said I've been to Cincinnati and I know what it is. It's beer sucking, guzzling, cigarette sucking, naked heifers and whores all over the place, feuding and a fighting and a riding and a can on and a party line, and I ain't a going. That's right. I ain't a going. And so he encounters persecution from without. And I got to hurry. He encounters persecution from without. That is, he is hounded and pursued by Saul. And by the way, the word persecution comes from the word pursue. It means to chase after. Saul chased after him. He was like a hound on his trail. He was like a hound. And look at the enemy's schemes. Son, if you don't think those, the devil, I'm talking about the devil and his craft, if you don't think that they don't have schemes in the back of their mind to get you, oh yeah, I'm satisfied that what I just talked about wasn't no more than a scheme from the devil. A little net laid, a little pit dug, and covered over real good with a few leaves, and this fellow apparently has walked right into it with his eyes wide open. Somebody said, what he said? Hey, Solomon said, gentlemen, that it is stupid to prepare a net in the side of the bird. He ain't going around in it if he's got his eyes on it. I'm telling you, men today are blinded at sin and blinded, my friend, at the onslaught of the devil and don't realize the power that Satan possesses in this life to destroy their testimony, destroy their life, rob them of peace, rob them of joy, and drag their lives down until they're rendered void and helpless in the service of God. I don't know about you, but I like what I just said. I can say amen to it. Notice the schemes in verse number 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. Notice also in verse 6. And my soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Can you see that? Just scheming and conniving and doing their best to try to get to try to deceive the people of God. Gentlemen, that's where persecution comes from. Persecution is not always open and blatant. That we can fight against. But persecution that is done in a deceiving, conniving way and not easily detected will do us far more harm spiritually. I mean, I believe it was the Dark Ages. May not have been quite that long. But God's people, I believe in Rome, hid in the catacombs in Rome in tunnels because of persecution. And somebody said, oh, but they had a terrible life. But they still maintain spirituality. Gentlemen, we're not living for the flesh. Our victory is not a fleshly, carnal thing. It is a spiritual thing. It's not an outward thing or an external thing. It's an internal thing in our soul. And although they were persecuted and driven, my friend, into hiding, they still maintained their spirituality and their victory in God. And
And I'm going to tell you what. Them pits and snares that's deceiving, that's what will get us. We may sit down, look here. We can sit down at the pit's mouth and view with wonder the just retaliations of providence. Gentlemen, God will retaliate on our behalf. Huh? Old Haman said, I'm going to build a gallows 50 cubits high, and old Mordecai's going to be hung from the top of it. But I'm going to tell you, God turned that thing around, gentlemen. And rather than Mordecai swinging from the top, Mordecai was crowned with power and glory. And Haman swung from the gallows that he had prepared for the man of God. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that we can, God will crown the Christian with great grace and glory in his spiritual life if he will crucify the old man, the flesh, and hang that egg sucker and walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. Now notice this. He beats the enemies of his servants with their own weapons. Can you get a hold of that? He will defeat the enemies of his servants with their own weapons. Huh? That's right. Notice not only their schemes, but notice their sword in verse number 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. You better be careful if what you listen to. Huh? You better be careful of that tongue. I'm telling you, a tongue can do more damage in 5 minutes than can be repaired in 10 years. I'm telling you the truth. Huh? And I'm right here is some good exhortation. You get around somebody that is bad-mouthing this church or someone in this church, the people of this church, you better flee that bunch like they have got a plague. Now, and look here. Now, you can get mad at me and puffed up. You can do what you can leave. You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, this is your own good. It's already been brought back to my attention. Already. That some little children have made remarks about a family in this church. And the remarks come from kids that's not even members of this church. Now, you bet. I'm just telling you what's the truth, friend. You better keep that tongue in your mouth.
Amen.
And avoid them. They'll cut you to pieces with it. Look here. He used the adjective. It is not just a sword. It's not just a tongue. It's sharp.
Amen.
He put an adjective on that thing. God help us. Isaiah 54:17 said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me,
amen,
saith the Lord.
Amen.
God will put that tongue down. Notice now their spears. He mentioned their teeth also in verse 4. They bite, they devour. Listen to what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, O dog of hell. Oh, dog of hell, I'm not only delivered from thy bite, but even from thy bark. Oh, dog of hell, whose teeth are like sharp swords. Thank God, gentlemen, that when the tongue and their schemes and their swords and their spears are sharp against us, that we can find a refuge under the canopy of God's wings until these calamities, this persecution, this onslaught be overpassed from our lives.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, preacher, we ain't none of us like that. Hang on, friend, we ain't got to heaven yet. I don't believe God had me preaching this if it either hadn't been experienced or was it going to be. Now, notice this. He not only encounters persecution from without, he encounters pressure from within. Look in verse number 6. He said, they have prepared a net for my steps, my soul. Oh, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me? Pressure, gentlemen. I'm telling you, persecution from without will bring pressure with it from within. And you put both of them together and let them yoke up together, you've got big problems in your life. If you don't make His wings a refuge for you to flee to, you mark her down, the pressure and the persecution will eventually bow you down. Your countenance will reveal that and your joy will be gone from serving God. I know that's right. Stress from without always brings pressure from within. Fellas, do you know how many people committed suicide or is estimated will commit suicide this year? 33,000. You know why? Pressure. And no peace. And somebody said, oh, but Brother Hall, we don't live like they live. Mark it down in your little black book if you carry one. That the winds and the rain and the waves that beat upon those that built upon the sand likewise beat upon those that had their house on a rock.
Yes, amen.
Mark her down.
Amen.
And those same problems, you think just because you're saved you don't have money problems? Son, I've been saved since 1970, and I'm telling you, I've fought hell by the acre around here about money. Now, we still ain't paid that big bill that we owe out yonder to Harris, but I left here on Friday. Wednesday, I told Sharon, I said, go ahead and send in the pace order. Well, everybody ain't paid, but send her in $1,450. I said, send it down there so we can get these kids in school. We didn't hardly have much money at all in the bank. I come back in here Friday afternoon, walked in there and looked down like the fainted. Praise God, the paces was paid, salaries was paid, and we still had $1,200 in the bank. I said, woo! Somebody said, you still got that bill. Yeah, but missions is paid.
Amen.
Y'all, I don't know that one, but I do. Woo-wee. God's good to us now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, hey, the same money pressure will put the stress on you and I that are saved just like it does on that crowd. You know why?
Amen.
We're not out of the world, gentlemen, but we're yet in this world.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else. You have marriage problems. Somebody said, oh, not me. Come on now. You know you're a lying rascal. Everything don't always go well with sweetheart. And everything, by the way, with sweetheart don't always go right with you either, fellas. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. And I know this is on tape. But I'm going to tell you something else, gentlemen. With age in a man's life, come some of the symptoms of menopause that comes in a woman's life. Now, you may not believe that right now, but hang on. There'll be days when you don't want to be around nobody. But you just like to be away from everybody and by yourself. And there'll be days that you feel like the world has done caved in on top of you and God don't love you no more. Somebody said, it's just that thing you'll go through in life. Now, I'm telling you what, when you get older, you just don't have the tendency to shake off some things. Some things that didn't matter. When I was a young boy growing up, I didn't give a flip whether if I had enough money, bless God, to take Sister Hall to a movie show and put $2 worth of gas in the car and was broke when I got back. That's all that mattered. And maybe 2 boxes of popcorn, 2 large Cokes while we was there. That's all that mattered. But things have changed. When I get down to that problem anymore, I'm telling you, it will create a problema. And there's marriage problems today, son, that are driving men and women over the edge. I just read the other day that the divorce rate is greater now in people from the age of 42 to 55 than it is any other age in America. Showed three women over the other day in the paper. One of them was 48 years old, lived with her husband 24 years. Said she just felt like she needed to get out on her own. She just left, just sued him for divorce and left. Said she just couldn't figure things out. Said he had already, said they lived 24 years, never had a child. Said he married another woman and said she's already got a baby and they seem to be happy. Said for some reason she ain't never found her mate yet. She may have left him. And the reason they didn't have a baby, maybe because that heifer that he had didn't want a child. Maybe that's the reason the marriage went down the tooth. Maybe that man wanted to raise a family. I'm just speculating now, and Mama-san didn't. That's why Mama-san showed her out there in her blue jeans sitting on the beach. Some old woman, 68 years old, her hair was shorter than Steve Vincent's. Well, it wasn't as short as Doug Bell's. But I'm going to tell you something. 68 years old, had lived with her husband I don't know how long, so many years. Only one husband. Felt like she just wanted to be out on her own. So she moved into town. Been separated for 2 years, and he just goes in and stays with her every now and then because he feels like one day the marriage will get put back together. But she's satisfied it won't. She's happy doing what she's doing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If God, hey, if it ain't but by the grace of God, that old man will take his life. His life will be ruined, son, over that. Well, I'm telling you, marriage problems, gentlemen. You better get the honey and the honeymoon and keep her there. Somebody said, well, she's kind of got a little overweight and got wrinkles. Rub them wrinkles and tell her how beautiful they are. Amen. I got news for you. You ain't smooth sailing anymore. Blubber gut. Look at that junk. Huh? Look at me. Praise God, I ain't exactly a raving beauty myself. Marriage problems.
Amen.
Then there's multiple pressures. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about peer pressure. Went up here and got me some little old chicken strips at the Sonic to get last night. I had a little old thing there every time. Said, I don't know what they were, backpack little old things. But said, there's four of them. Get them all. Said, all the kids in school this year will have one. Hanging down the pack. Said, everybody's got to have one. Well, what about that child that can't go up to the Sonic Burger 3 and 4 times a week till they get them all? What about that child that ain't got that kind of money? I'm telling you, there's peer pressure, gentlemen, on everybody today to be equal with everybody else. And it ain't never going to happen. God made some of us poor. God give others money. God's blessed some more than others. And why? I don't know, but it has. But let it be so. Let us anchor our soul in God. Get saved by the grace of God and live for Jesus.
Amen. Now he encountered persecution from without. He encountered persecution from within. But he was encouraged by protection from above. He said, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In the shadow of his wings will I make my refuge. The soft shadowing of God's wings, gentlemen, is a protection of his soft, sweet love. The shadow of his wings is the refreshing, trusting comfort connected with his protection.
Amen.
Just like an old mother chicken gathers that little group under her little old soft wings when the thunderstorms, my friend, are on the horizon. Those little chickens will immediately flee under mama's wings and she'll hover over them. Displaying her love and her protection and for those little chicks. I'll never forget. That year we was down in Brother Williams in Mexico. And that storm, some of them said, there's a storm coming, boys. Said, look at it. I said, praise God, we need the rain. They said, well, said it probably won't even get here. Said, they generally go around us. And said, if it does, said, it really won't be a storm. Said, we don't really get that many storms. That thing come down that valley, and I said, Lord, I believe you're fixing to make this people a liar. But sure enough, that wind blew through it. It wasn't real bad. It blew through and a little rain fell with it.
But that storm moved across that valley and went, and I watched it, and you could see that thunderhead, and it went out like out in the desert and stopped. And that thing stood. I said, uh-oh. That thing went to jumping up and down. I'm honest now before God. I've got pictures of it back there somewhere. That thing went to jumping up and down, and I noticed an old hen. And that old hen, them little chickens come and run up, and she just hunkered down out there on the ground, put her wings over them. They had an old mule down, and that old horse down there, and that horse said, son, and he was gone, buddy. And that storm, hey, that storm headed back, comes right back down the same path that it had just went, only this time she was bringing hail balls, son. I'm talking about hail fell that deep in Monterey, Mexico. Wind blew, storm, rain. I never seen anything like it. And bless God, when it was all said and done, that old butterhead was still hovered over that bunch of little chickens that she had given birth to. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that the God of glory, when the calamities and the troubles are headed our way. Amen. That image suggests affection, rest, and safety. It wasn't only in that cave, gentlemen, that David would hide and find safety, but it was in the cleft of the Rock of Ages. Now, it's good to see God's face. But if you can't ever see, but if you can't see His face, it's a blessed thing to hide beneath the shelter of His wings. If I can't look up and see His face, I'm glad I can look up and see the feathers of His wings. Woo! God encouraged him because of His supremacy. He said in verse 2, I will cry to God Most High. Most High, gentlemen. Huh? When you take in view the Most High God, the giants on this earth will look like dwarfs. Those 10 spies said, these giants over there. Joshua and Caleb said, God's over there. They didn't see the giants. They saw God. His supremacy. Then they were encouraged by God's performance for them. I didn't write down the verse here, but I'll try to find it. In verse number 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Gentlemen, it'll be a happy day when God's people realize that God is working for us. God is performing from within for us to His honor and His glory. Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
These things are behind me.
Yes.
But while I walk in the midst of calamities,
yes,
I will find a refuge and safety beneath the shadow of God's eternal wings,
yes,
of love and care and grace.